What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 124. Today, we're going to be talking about proper weaning. So we've done a whole series now on just baby formula, why you shouldn't go the soy baby formula. And then last week, we talked about a baby formula you can make at home, one that's milk-based and one that's meat-based. So if any of that interests you, check out the past few weeks of the podcast. But today, we're going to be transitioning to when your baby is actually wanting to eat real foods, whole foods, what you should feed them, why you should feed them this, and go through that whole thing. And the main argument here is going to be to wean your child onto an animal-based diet. So this is going to be low-carb, ketogenic-based. And I'm getting a lot of information from Amber O'Hearn. If you don't know who she is, she's real big in the carnivore community. And she's weaned her children, or at least one of them, on a real strict animal-based diet. And has seen amazing results. So this is something she promotes. I'm going to link the article that I pulled a lot of this information from on the website. So you go to tntwellnessandnutrition.com. You find the post just labeled, you know, podcast 124. And you can go to her article because she has everything cited on her article. So instead of me just like pulling her links, I'll just send you to her website and you can go to her and check her out. And if you have any questions, you can go to us. You can go to her, either or. But yeah, so we really wanted to do this because there are a bunch of problems with just traditional baby foods, right, Tom?
Yeah, so if you just walk down like your baby food aisle, you're not gonna see like most of the foods that we're gonna be talking about in this podcast. You're gonna be seeing a lot of like pureed pear, a pureed carrot, some peas, something like that. Well, the problem with most of these baby foods is that they're basically all carbs and sugar. There's like no fat, there's no protein, and depending on if they're organic or not, there could be a bunch of toxins along with them. I mean, because, hey, most plants are heavily sprayed with, like, pesticides and stuff like that. This doesn't really seem like the first thing we should be giving to our children. And, like, since it is pretty much all carbs and sugar, these foods are not satiating, meaning that the child might want more, and this could kind of trick the parents into thinking, oh, hey, the kid really likes it because, like, you know, my baby wants more. Well, it's not because the food is healthy. It's because, like, none of the child's needs were met. Like, they're not getting any cholesterol, they're not getting EPA, they're not getting DHA, they're not getting these healthy fats. All they're getting are a bunch of carbs. So they're going to stay hungry because none of their nutritional needs are met. And another issue is sugar is highly addictive. I mean, they've shown studies in rats where rats prefer sugar over cocaine. So, yeah, sugar is highly addictive. And if you're feeding your babies sugar right from the beginning, you might be creating a lifelong sugar addict by mistake. Like, I know it's not intentional, but hey, sometimes, like, bad things happen, and it's kind of sad, especially because since these foods are, like, so high in sugar, like, giving a baby this is, like, eating five times as much for us, because since they're so small.
Exactly.
Isn't the poison.
Yep.
And along with these, all plants have some sort of anti-nutrients in them. That's their natural defense. So if you're just feeding your baby a bunch of potatoes or something along those lines, there's going to be a lot of anti-nutrients in there. So that's another thing that just to kind of be aware of. So just sticking with a bunch of plant foods from your baby aisle is not the best idea.
Yeah, no, exactly. To go back to, like you said, your baby asking for more, how you interpret that is kind of, I guess, just up to you. But really, just look around. We have a whole nation of people that are overfed and undernourished. And that's exactly what's going on in this case. You know, your baby's looking for more vitamins, more minerals. And obviously, they can't talk, so you have to interpret it however you can, as best you can. but you need to feed our children, especially our children at these young ages, the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. And honestly, that's why weaning onto an animal-based diet makes sense, since the species-appropriate diet. It provides all the vitamins and minerals our body needs in their most bioavailable form. And this is why we preach an animal-based diet. It's not that, I mean, like I said it a million times, people think I hate vegetables. Not that I hate vegetables. It's just I'm really all about the best performance. If I'm going to eat this, it better be providing my body with something, and especially at least not harming me. And with these plants, like Tom said, high in sugar, high in anti-nutrients, are coming back and they're harming us. As adults, most of us can get past. We'll be okay with a little this, a little bit of that. But our babies, like, we really should give them the most nutrient-dense foods if we can, you know? So with this one, I want to focus really on brain development, since that's what makes humans unique. We have 2 to 3 times larger brains than other primates, and most of that growth occurs after birth. If our heads and brains were any bigger at birth, babies wouldn't fit through the birth canal. And so that would obviously be a problem, right? So most of the brain development has to occur after they've already given birth. So primates wean at about 4 years of age. Humans wean relatively early, but we need to continue to support our brain development, which continues well into our teenage years and even into our early 20s. So I want to focus on just certain nutrients. So there are certain nutrients and micronutrients that we need for growth that are all found in their most bioavailable form or only from animal sources. So iodine is a big one for our thyroid. Zinc and iron are minerals that our body needs that are cofactors in a million reactions that are the most bioavailable in animal-based foods. We've talked about iron a lot because iron is one of those minerals that plant-based people kind of say, you know, you can get iron in plants, but it's a completely different type of iron. We're talking about heme iron that we actually need that you only get from animal-based diet. You do not get that from a plant-based diet. And then also the fatty acid DHA, which is a long chain omega-3 fatty acids. Everyone's heard about the benefits of omega-3s at this point. You know, you can go to wherever, Costco, Safeway, Lucky's, and find fish pills on any aisle. Those fish pills are omega-3 fats. That's what they're recommended. So DHA, you're only going to find from animal-based foods. You're not going to find that in the plant-based world. And DHA and these fats are very important for brain development, because that's what makes up our brain, literally. And from an energy standpoint, the human brain is it's very energy intensive. It needs a lot of energy to thrive, a lot of energy just to honestly maintain baseline. And it's even more so in children. So 20% of energy as adults goes to our brain. So just off the top, 20% goes strictly to our brain. But 3/4 of energy for children goes to the brain. So that shows how energy, I guess, sucking the brain is for these children. Like, we need to think about what the brain needs specifically for a proper diet for a child. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's got to be because not only, like, is everything new to them, so they have to learn so many new things. They're just observing this whole brand new environment. So they have so much information that they have to take in, process all that information, and at the same time, their brain is still growing and developing. So they have a lot more going on than we do.
Exactly. Yeah. So most of the brain is made from cholesterol and fat. So the human brain is 60% fat by dry weight, and 40% of that fat is cholesterol. And here's the thing that is a little technical and a little complicated, people don't know, but cholesterol and the bulk of fats can't cross the blood-brain barrier. They're simply too big. Cholesterol is a huge molecule. It's not going to get through. So these crucial components have to get made on site, so within the brain itself. What does our brain preferentially use to make cholesterol and fatty acids? They use ketone bodies. That's what our brain wants to use to make these fats and cholesterols. And it can use other things, but it prefers to use ketones. And ketone bodies cross a blood-brain barrier, no problem. Ketones are actually very, very small. And they can be used as fuel for our brain, which is great, which our brain needs as well, obviously. But ketones can very easily be elongated and made into cholesterol or made into these EPA and DHA fatty acids. We need these fats for this. And it might sound extreme to put a ketogenic diet or to put a child on a ketogenic diet, if you don't understand what a ketogenic diet truly is. So you understand that comment, right, Tom? Like, if I say, hey, put your kid on a ketogenic diet, like, oh, my kid's skinny, my kid's healthy. It's like, no, it's not to lose weight. It's just to support proper growth.
Yeah, most people are going to think of, oh, so why do I need to put my kid on an 85% fat, 10% protein, 5% carb diet?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what that means. A ketogenic diet is any diet that your body is producing ketones and using ketones as a fuel source. So not all ketogenic diets are extremely high fat, extremely low protein, extremely low carb.
There's differences to it, exactly. So, and honestly, and I've used this argument with people a lot and they don't understand it. Everyone listening to this right now, everyone on earth at some point was on a ketogenic diet. And that's because all infants are in a state of mild ketosis all the time. Infants use ketone bodies 4 to 5 times more efficiently than adults. So mild ketosis in a baby is like deep ketosis in adults. And it takes a child and anyone actually up to the age of like 12, 13, just a few hours to get into ketosis. When like an adult, if you were coming to me from eating the standard American diet, I would say you need to fast for like 3 whole days before you're going to be in keto and actually running off of ketone bodies. But a child, they eat lunch, say at noon, by 4 or 5, they're back in ketosis, no matter what that lunch contained, even if they did go and eat a high carb based lunch. And that's just showing how preferential their body is trying to produce those ketones.
And there's even ketones in like mother's breast milk. Mm-hmm. So, like, just in case they're not able to produce enough on their own, they're still getting help from the mother.
Yeah. Yeah, breast milk, man, is just the most, like I said, the most nutrient-dense food on the planet. Yeah, and the truth is, the body just runs very efficiently on ketones. Like, there's just no way around it, you know? And you have to remember, the fuel for ketosis is fat. And that's like, why do you think babies are so fat? Because they are. You ever seen a cute little baby? A cute little baby is always a fat little baby. It's just a thing. You know, you never seen a skinny baby and was like, oh, that's healthy.
Yeah, they don't come out of the womb with a six pack or anything like that.
Yeah, looking jacked. Exactly. And honestly, as a species, we're more fat than other primates. Humans on average are about 15 to 20% fat. And honestly, that's on a good day for most people nowadays. But other primates are no more than 5%. Like, go look at a shaved gorilla, they're ripped. You know, no matter how they, even though they have big old bellies, they don't have a lot of actual fat. But this added fat in humans is actually beneficial. It provides our body, and most importantly, our brain, with adequate fuel for ketosis. And this is obviously way more important as we're children. As we become adults, we don't need it. It's not that big of a deal. We can get lean. But as child, or as being a child, we need that extra fat storage. And, has there been studies on this? Has there been studies on weaning babies on animal-based foods? There has. So there's been a couple trials, and they both came back beneficial compared to the plant-based diet. So they had these babies that were fed animal-based foods had higher zinc status, which is a good sign. They had increased head growth, which in children is a good index of brain growth and is correlated with higher intelligence. We all want smart kids. We don't want those dumbass kids. We know they're around. Don't want that. There was another study that showed better general growth without increased adiposity. So that means they grew better, but they weren't fatter. So basically, they grew more muscle and bone, which is both beneficial. So both those studies showed that, honestly, transitioning to animal-based diet is beneficial and better than plant-based diet, which I don't think we need studies to show that, but at least there are some, you know?
Well, I mean, this is just how, like, that ancestral wisdom, this is what we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years, for generation upon generation. It's like we've always relied more on animal foods. So yeah, like you said, like we really don't need the studies. Like the fact that we're here should be evidence enough.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little before we actually recorded, but just the idea of quote-unquote baby food doesn't honestly make sense. Like, you know, you go down the aisle of some grocery store, you have just baby food, but for before there was supermarkets, babies ate what anyone else ate in the little village in your town, in your city. They didn't have like special food just for babies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, most likely, like the mother or daughter or mother or father would chew up the food and then spit it in the kid's mouth, like a baby bird type status. Like that's probably what most people were doing, just because like, what other options were there?
Yeah, there was none. Exactly. So the question is now is how and when to wean onto animal foods. And with this, with his app. This is from Amber O'Hearn again. This is what she recommends, is to let the baby guide you. So when they start to show interest in the foods you are eating, just share the foods you're eating. And starting with stuff like broth and then increasingly adding little bits of meat to it over time is a good way to do it. Things like egg yolks and liver are easily eaten without any sort of teeth or with any sort of like problem like chewing. Like if you ever had raw liver, it's very, I don't know, silky is the word for it, but you can swallow it no problem. You're not going to choke on it. And they're extremely, extremely nutrient dense. So starting with those foods is a pretty good idea.
Yeah, so we just kind of wanted to end this. We have like a nice little list of kind of like the few foods you should be focusing on. So obviously milk, whole raw milk, preferably either A2, goat. I mean, if you can get camel, that'd be another good alternative. But that A2, cow milk or goat milk, I mean, we've talked about it plenty of times in the past. Milk is like a complete food. It's, if not the best, it's one of the top like three best foods out there overall. But yeah, like Tyson said, like egg yolks, like just eggs overall, they're a great source. They're a great source of cholesterol, a great source of omega-3s, like Tyson was talking about earlier, just how important those are for your development. Vitamin A, choline, like they're so nutrient dense. Again, like you don't really need to chew eggs. You can scramble them, cook them over easy, something along those lines. And that's something that you don't really have to worry about your baby like choking on. Because, like, you know, you just kind of swallow eggs. Like, it just kind of slides down really easy. Tyson mentioned broth. The best type of broth is going to be a bone broth. Super nutrient dense. They have all the minerals that you can need. A bunch of collagen, protein. That's something that your child's probably not going to be getting a lot of collagen during the early phases of life. Just because they're not going to be eating chicken wings or anything like that. So skin and bones are a great source of collagen, so bone broth is a good way to get that. And if you're using bones that have the marrow still in it when you're making your bone broth, the bone marrow has a bunch of omega-3s in it, so that's another way you can get these like very, very vital omega-3s. So this is one that me and Tyson are kind of going to go against what we've said in previous podcasts, is pasture-raised ground beef. So definitely go ground beef over steak, because ground beef is a lot easier to chew than a steak. I mean, you don't really want to be giving your one-year-old some ribeye. They might choke on something like that.
I mean, even I choke on ribeye, and I'm a damn adult.
Yeah, but see, like ground beef, it's cut up into such small pieces that it's no longer like a big like choking hazard. But the reason that we say pasture-raised ground beef here is, for one, there's going to be a lot less toxins. I'm not really convinced that conventional raised beef has a bunch of toxins, but just to play it safe, like I've seen kind of science going both ways, kind of play it safe, go with the pasture-raised. Pasture-raised beef is higher in vitamin A and higher in omega-3s, and omega-3s are vital at this stage. And the price difference isn't going to be that big, because it's not like you're going to be needing to buy 3 pounds of ground beef for your two-year-old. Like, you know, half a pound here, like a pound there, like something like that. You know, this should last you quite a while. I don't know too many two or three-year-olds that are eating like pounds of beef a day.
Exactly.
So the price difference shouldn't be that big.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like we said, this is the one time I really think going with the best is the good option. Like, it's just... We have a whole podcast on grass-fed versus grain-finished beef. So if you really want the nitty-gritty on what's the difference, go listen to that. But in this case, just go with the organic. If you can get something local, go with something local. It's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Like Tyson mentioned earlier, liver, it's a great source of a lot of minerals, vitamins, pretty much everything. Selenium, a bunch of... So it has everything that like ground beef would have. But usually some of the harder to get minerals and vitamins, they're a lot more packed in the liver. So liver is just a great way, like a great source to add to your diet. And one good thing is if you can get your child hooked on liver early, that child is most likely going to love it for the rest of their life. Most people that I know that like liver got exposed to it at a very early age. I'm still having a hard time getting used to it, and that's just because liver was never really a big part of my childhood.
Yeah, that's such a great point. You get them accustomed to that taste, that like irony taste, and they'll, and honestly, I mean, they won't appreciate it until they're probably in their 50s or 60s and they're healthy as shit, but it's a good habit to get into, to get in the, like, to like the taste of liver.
Yeah, so we used to have some neighbors, and we, our barbecue, we would invite them over all the time, and I was making these like liver, heart, and ground beef burgers. And she was born in the Philippines, so she absolutely loved those burgers. Like anytime, like I was making them, she requests that I would make them from time to time and stuff like that. And I'm over here, like I'm eating them. Like I gotta like doctor it up a little bit, put some sauce on it. My fiance pretty much said, like, you can make them, just don't tell me that you're making them. So like I don't know that I'm eating liver, because she's like really adverse to it. You know, she thinks it's disgusting. But just kind of like, hey, that's just that different culture. She was exposed to it at an early age, so she loves it. Me and her over here don't really like the taste that much, so we're trying to like cover it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So Kathy listens to this. Kathy, what's up? Filipino. It's just in her culture, chicken liver is a thing growing up, so she can eat that stuff every day. So like when we put chicken livers on a meal plan, she's like good to go, you know? So it's just, it is a cultural thing.
Yeah, and one great thing about liver is it's really cheap. I've never seen some like liver that I was like, oh shit, that's too expensive.
Yeah, it's a good point.
So the next one on this list is either going to be wild caught salmon or the sardines. Like you can get those in a can. Make sure you debone the sardines. I mean, for me, I can crunch through, that's fine. But for a child, that might not be the safest thing. Mm-hmm. Those are such a great source of omega-3s. It seems like that's the commonality on most of the foods in this list, but omega-3s are very important for, you know, a growing child. And then like the last one is like just wild fruit, so stuff like berries and like non-sweet fruit, stuff like squash and avocado. I know a lot of people think squash is a vegetable. No, it's not. It's actually a non-sweet fruit. So these fruits, they're lower in sugar and have a lot less anti-nutrients than a lot of other ones would, so they're a pretty good thing to add to it. Pretty interesting. I was over at my friend Joe's house. What's up, Joe? What's up, Kristen? And we were having like dessert, and we were doing strawberries and whipped cream. And they have three boys, and one of the boys is like sitting next to us, and he's like, this is my favorite dessert. And I like look at him like, you like strawberries and whipped cream more than you like ice cream? He's like, yep. More than, I was like, okay. What about more than cake? He's like, yep. More than a chocolate bar? He's like, yep. He's like, more than anything. And I was like, damn. Like 2-3 years ago, there's no way he would have answered that. Like he would have been loving cake and loving all these other foods. Now that his parents have exposed him to this like much healthier way of eating, his taste buds have totally changed. I was like, damn, that little kid's a stud.
I'm jealous of those kids, man. They're gonna grow to be monsters, and I mean that in like the best way possible. It's so cool. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they love burgers. They love ribs. They have their youngest son. He's just like walking around now. Anytime you have a plate full of meat, like he's your best friend, and you gotta watch him because he took a piece of tri-tip from my plate the other day. Yeah, so he loves it. I think his favorite food is ribs. I think that's like the favorite food at that house is ribs right now.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah, so those are just kind of the foods that we want to recommend. Those are the foods that you should definitely focus on. And we're going to send a link to, it's called myserenitykids.com. Just in case you're on the go or you have somebody babysitting your kids and you don't expect them to prepare some bone broth or cook them some like scrambled eggs, something like that. Or if you're out hiking, you're not at home and you need some like convenient foods, My Serenity Kids, they have a line of foods. It's wild-caught salmon and kale, or something like that, or some pasture-raised ground beef, some pasture-raised bison with sweet potatoes. So they're a paleo-based website that's going to have these healthy foods with a bunch of healthy fats paired with some sort of like low-carb vegetable. So they're on board with the way that we're recommending like this type of diet for children.
Yeah, so I'll put that link on the website so you can go there and check it out. Because we understand, you know, in an ideal situation, you're the only person around your kids, or at least your only person feeding your kids. But we know there's parties or going to grandma's or going to grandma's or grandpa's. So that can help in those public and kind of social situations for sure. But yeah, that's really the gist of the whole series we had on the baby stuff. Like, it's funny coming from two guys who have no kids. But eventually, when we have kids, this is exactly what we're going to do. I mean, hopefully, you know, just breast milk as long as they can. But if not, we have alternatives to that. And then once the children are old enough to eat, they're eating what I'm eating. And that's just what it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, minus the milk, all those other foods that we listed are stuff that I consume on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, just kind of what we mentioned earlier. Children are just little adults. So, like, they're little humans. So they're going to be eating the same foods as you. But, yeah, like, when they're small and they're not eating a lot, that's the time to really focus on that quality.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, hope you guys enjoy the podcast. You can find it at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That really helps us out. Please share this little series that we did with anybody that you know that's either thinking about having children or recently had children or is expecting a child. You know, just kind of make sure that we make everybody that we can as healthy as possible. Feel free to reach out. You can find us pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.